I have no right to be so proud of his musical accomplishments, but I am. And that's because Doug Adams, although he's lived in California for way too long, he's still a local boy. And he's joining us now from Roadside, I think, out in California somewhere, where he's been touring lately. Hi, Doug. How you doing?
Hi, Monica. It's so great to talk to you.
Well, I can't wait for you to get here and perform for us off your new CD, National Steel. And your performance will be next Saturday. That's October 11th from 7 to 9:30 p.m. at a really nice venue, the Unitarian Universalist Community, which is 4425 Byron Street. It's just such a neat building, and it's an intimate, neat atmosphere. So I'm really looking forward to that. How's your gigging on the road been so far with your new material?
Oh, it's been great. It's been really fun. We're heading back home now. We just did a couple little shows in Southern California. This music is it's acoustic, and I'm playing solo. So it's nice to do it in small, intimate atmospheres, which is what I think the Unitarian Universalist venue is as well.
Yeah, it's a lovely spot.
I've never been there. I'm only going there on your recommendation, actually.
Well,
you and Gene Keller both have played there and told me how great it is.
Well, it is. Yeah, I mean, they have a nice space, and great people always turn out, but it's just a really good environment and a good fit for the intimate kind of music that a solo singer-songwriter comes up with. Speaking of which, that's not always what you've been. I think your first incarnation as a musician was rock and roll, kind of the long-haired, really emaciated-looking young guys doing your thing, is what I see in the black and white photos now.
I don't know if I was emaciated. I was one of the neighborhood moms described me as a hairy broomstick, I think.
okay. I think emaciated has a little more charm than that. But that's... Well, so
a lot of hair on top, and then just pretty much a stick. But yeah, we played rock and roll. In fact, I was an hour ago, I was in Los Angeles and stopped in and visited my friend Ron Evans, who a lot of El Pasoans will remember. He was my first really major influence on guitar, because when we were about 13 years old, we met each other and started playing together. Uh-huh. And formed a band called the Caravels. Now, we're talking about 1964 or so. When the Beatles songs were hits, we were playing the Beatles songs and Little Richard songs and Chuck Berry, Rolling Stones, The Animals, The Yardbirds. We loved that stuff, and that's what was on the radio, and we played it. Anyway, I was just with Ron. He works now in 20th Century Fox.
Oh, my. Yeah, that West Coast does suck up a lot of talent. You know, that's a lot of neat things happen out there. But I have to ask you, you've lived and breathed music your entire life. How many CDs have you done now, either as part of a group or your solo work?
Well, I started doing records. I did a solo record, and pressed up about 500 copies, most of which still exist somewhere.
And that, as long as they're not in your garage, this is okay.
There's probably one at KTEP, I'll bet. So that was one. Then I did the 4 albums with my band, Light Rain.
Yes.
That's 5.
Then okay, let me interject here that Light Rain is another incarnation of you as a musician, where you're playing the fiddle. And doing the amazing belly dance music, which one piece was choreographed by the Joffrey Ballet. You know, you're hot stuff among the dance community.
Yes. I don't mean yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Just accept it.
The music of Light Rain, you know, it's kind of interesting and kind of great that the music of Light Rain is known. It's not that I am so much known, but the songs are. And just briefly, how that happened is when I left El Paso, graduated from UTEP, packed things in my VW van and headed west, and found myself improvising music for a belly dancer, playing violin to Arabic rhythms, watching the dancing and listening to the rhythms. Anyway, that led to recording some of that music, which it was the first time, as far as I can figure, the first time that Americans had, a group of American musicians had composed and recorded a whole album of music for belly dancing.
All so, because you couldn't resist the sequined hips with the chiffon and the, let's get real.
You're showing great insight there, Monica. I found myself in the big city. How that happened was I was going around auditioning at folk music clubs.
Uh-huh.
And there was one called the Holy City Zoo down on Clement Street. And I auditioned there, and they didn't hire me. But I did find out that belly dancers were there on Wednesday night. So
mm-hmm.
I thought, here I am in the big city by myself. What have I got to lose? And I went to see the belly dancers, and I saw that they were performing with just percussion, their own finger cymbals and drums. So I waited around until everybody left, and I said, I could make music, beautiful music for you.
Wink, wink.
Yes. And the next week, I was in the troupe, and started playing with her. Her name was Deanne. And years later, we did get married and lived together for a long time.
Yes, the beautiful Deanne.
And in those days, back at the Holy City Zoo, Robin Williams was doing our breaks.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I'm floored.
Yeah, well, I would have been floored, but I never really heard him because I was always outside during the breaks, taking a break.
The life of the musician.
Yeah, we were numbering albums. So, yes, I did four albums with Light Rain. Then I got a band together playing Americana, country music, and that was kind of my working band around the Bay Area, just playing parties, clubs, gigs of all kinds, and recorded an album with them called Wake Up. Not much happened with that. Put it out as a cassette, and I don't know. I think it had some good songs on it. But I kind of let that one go.
Mm-hmm.
Did an album as a duo with another guy called Dan and Doug Blues Duo.
I'd never heard of that one.
That one's probably out of print, too. So recently, in the last era, I started recording solo, acoustic solo albums. And I've done three of those.
You fell for the challenge.
Yeah. As you have said, the most rewarding and the most challenging.
It's the high wire of recording, to do it solo and live.
And performing, yeah.
Yeah, which means that you're not laying down a guitar track and then going back and singing to your own instrument or anything like that. You are sitting there playing at the mic just the way you would perform it. And you have knocked it out of the park. You've redefined the park with the things that you've recorded, Doug. They are stunning.
Oh,
well,
that means a whole lot coming from you. I'm not joking. That really does a lot.
Well, I mean, it's just a delight to listen to. You've losing track that you did the one solo album that was voice and guitar. Then you did the instrumental, and we use Truckee Winter, I believe, is our introductory piece for State of the Arts. It's our theme song because that's just an amazing solo album. Just finger picking is crazy good. This National Steel album, you've gone off in a different direction, totally different direction. Why did you invent yourself that way? Where's that voice coming from?
The only explanation that is readily comes to mind, and it makes sense to me, I guess, as much as any of this does, is that that guitar itself, it's some of your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with this, but it's called the National Steel Body Guitar. And it's a regular guitar. Anybody who can play a guitar can play one of them. But the thing is made out of metal, made out of steel. It's got this kind of cross hatching on the front. And inside of it are three cones that are kind of like speakers, but they're not plugged into anything. They're just working off the acoustics on of the machine. And the thing about it is it was invented around the 20s or 30s. And I think it was a product of guitarists' constant quest to play louder.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make an acoustic guitar that was loud. And so it got associated with a real American music, especially the blues and Delta blues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what most people think of when they hear that sound. And so when I picked one up and just started playing it, that's kind of the direction that I went in.
Yeah, it's an extremely earthy sound. It's just a different incarnation of you as a musician comes out with that instrument. And you also managed to snag some time with Peter Rowan. And
Yeah,
pretty nice there. You got him on a couple of your songs.
That's true. That was great. Well, Peter's a friend of mine and a neighbor. Where I'm living now is up on Tamales Bay, which is north of San Francisco. It's north of Stinson Beach. And you just keep going up Highway 1. It's a pretty remote area. But across the bay from me is a little town, and that's where Peter lives. So we found ourselves in jams together, a little restaurant called the Station House Cafe. It's just a restaurant and bar, but they get some really good musicians in there, and some fantastic jams have happened. I found myself on stage with Peter Rowan and another friend of mine and neighbor there now, Ramblin' Jack Elliott.
Oh, man, you are a lucky man, and we are lucky that we're going to get you back here to perform songs off of this new album. 17 cuts, all originals, and the writing, I haven't even touched on that. We're out of time for the interview, and I haven't even gotten to rave about the lyrics that you have come up with are sheer genius on some of these songs. They're crazy good. So the best way for our listeners to satisfy the frustration of the fact that they can't hear more right now is to get to the Unitarian Universalist Community. That's 4425 Byron Street. Next Saturday, October 11th, from 7 to 9:30 p.m., to hear our very own Doug Adams performing off his new CD titled National Steel. I'll be there in the front row staring up at you, Doug. Thank you so much for talking to us, and safe travels getting here.
Thank you much, and say hi to Hal for me.
I shall. Thank you, Doug.